The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've got one more day to wait until the general manager addresses the media.
Where is Terry?
We're going to find out.
Where is Terry?
We're going to find out. By the way, I know many of you are still wondering after yesterday's amazing show. This show is amazing, and you need to be here every day. I know you're wondering, is Terry Fontenot coming on? The answer is no.
No.
With that said, we are waiting to hear what he has to say about this organization, all right, the evaluation of their coaching staff and the players and all the things that they're looking at right now. With that said, we are glad that you're here. It's Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you here. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast, PADLYBuys.com. Mike, what are we going to get from Terry Fontenot tomorrow? What are we going to get? And oh, by the way, yes, we're going to talk about our Hawks. Do not worry. Big win last night. Road trip continues. We'll get into that. But this is front and center, Mike, because it's so fresh on our minds, and we've got the NFL playoffs this weekend,
right?
Wild card weekend. We should be playing this weekend.
Now, I can say if I was Terry, I would say, look, we did everything within our budget to put a winner on the field. That if I was not telling him to put words in his mouth, this is what I would say.
Okay.
You know, we went and got the best available free agent quarterback, and after some issues, you know, maybe to start the season, which we knew we were going to have to deal with injuries, he was the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then unforeseen events kind of derailed our season. And in hindsight, perhaps we could have pivoted to Michael Penix Jr. Credit me for having the foresight to have a quarterback as a backup.
I agree.
And having security and never finding ourselves in the quarterback hell that unfortunately we suffered for. So, hey, maybe in hindsight we get to Michael Penix Jr. a little bit quicker. I think defensively we went and tried to get the best edge rushers available with Judon. You know, I went and got – I made a move. I got this, Justin Simmons. And unfortunately, they were inconsistent. No, he won't say that. But I'm saying if I owned the team,
yes,
if I ran the team, that's what I'd say.
Well, listen.
And that's, I mean, that's all you can say.
Well, some of that is absolutely true. Whether you believe it or not, the quarterback thing is on his watch, okay? If the economy goes bad, whoever is in office gets blamed for it.
Right. Fair or unfair.
Okay?
Exactly. Right.
So the quarterback thing is on his watch. But what is also on his watch is – how we aren't able to spend that money that is now being spent towards Kirk Cousins, especially whether you move on from him or not, we're going to take a hit. That is also on your watch. But you're right about the Penix thing. What does he say about Raheem Morris, though? What does he say about Jimmy Lake, Mike? What does he say about those guys?
Well, I think they'll, you know, as far as the coach, he goes, his relationship with Ra is strong. He believes in Coach Raheem Morris. I mean, I'm just telling you what he's going to say.
All right.
You know, and I think
this is why I'm asking.
And I think now, again, would he go so far as to say, as in every endeavor in sports or life, are there things we could look at ourselves and maybe do better next year? I think that's something we would all agree we can do better. But I think he's going to say he's got a great relationship. I think everything else is on the table as far as assistant coaches, position coaches. I think you evaluate everything, kind of like what the coach, Raheem Morris, said the other day.
What do you guys expect? And are you going to be satisfied? Because that's really what we're talking about here. Is your appetite going to be quenched? 404-726-0929. That is the number. It is also our text line. And the reason it's important is because if you don't, then you're not buying in. If you don't, you won't believe any of the moves or in the moves that they're going to make this offseason to hopefully improve this team. What I'm telling you is this is an important press conference. What I'm telling you is you have to get back what you lost in how the season ended. And the how of that, Mike, is transparency, honesty, and you know what? We get your frustration. We understand it. Right. Don't BS us. By the way, is Terry coming on the show?
That's a big no.
Okay.
Hey, yo, Terry.
Yeah. Now, and again, I just think in other cities, and I like every organization, franchise, you know, handles their business the way they handle their business. I just think the fans want to hear from the guy. They want to hear in a more informal setting, like on a talk show where you can cover more areas as opposed to a press conference where sometimes you don't get the questions asked. I think it's the audience does. Not that our media is not going to get after it because this is a frustrating, you know, guys, we're 6-3. It's a frustrating season. We blew it. This, by any metric, is a collapse. You know, I was talking to a listener today on social media. Follow us, Carlos. Put him up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And I was saying, look, there's moments. There's seasons come down to moments. And there was moments where the season was still up for grabs, and we blew it against the Commanders. And that's on the coach. Just like Kirk Cousins losing it. That's on Kirk Cousins. And I don't know. We don't know. You and I have done a lot of national shows. You talked about, I know, on your national show, doing interviews. Everybody asks us. We were at the Army-Navy game. Guys are asking, what the hell's happened to Kirk Cousins? They don't know. I don't know if Kirk knows. Maybe we'll find out there was an injury that he perhaps didn't want to let the coaching staff or the medical staff know what was going on. In that case, that's selfish on Kirk Cousins. If that is the case, I don't know. We're grasping at straws on this one. But once things are going south, I just think the coach, in hindsight, has got to be more decisive. And I think the general manager needs to lean on the coach. I know coaches coach and general managers put the teams together, but I think they got to work together and say, this ain't working. We got to pivot here, regardless of how bad it looks that I spent all this money on Kirk Cousins.
But isn't Terry Ross boss?
Yes. Technically, yes.
Okay. So that
just
is,
tell him what to do.
Well, but that is why this evaluation is also important. Ross is going to evaluate the coaches, which is what he said in his press conference. Who's evaluating him? Well, it's the GM, and it should be the owner. That's how this works. It should be the guys in the front office, the president, et cetera. Mike, as far as the media, and look, I'm not going to take shots at anybody. I love everybody here in Atlanta that does a great job in covering our teams. But there is something fundamentally unique about sitting down one-on-one on a talk show where you can ask questions and follow up and press for the answers. Not in a round robin, everybody has a question, it feels good, I'm sorry. And that is why I'm continuing to press this and say, is Terry coming on the show?
Right. Nope.
He's not.
What you doing, Terry?
And that's a disservice. I'm not telling you we're better than everybody else. Don't get me wrong here. We are. But I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is there's something unique about that. Why all of those years did you watch the one-on-one interviews on Oprah or anywhere else? Because you felt like, oh, man, you're going to get the answers right that you need. You never watched a mass press conference and went, man, I left that and got everything I needed.
Right.
There's something fundamentally right about doing those kinds of things, and especially when your audience is a paying audience like the Atlanta Falcon fan base. Yeah,
and you and I are, as season ticket holders, man. That's one of the things.
Is that too much?
No, man, you're right on point on this. The general manager's got to come on local radio and do an interview.
Period.
And if you guys don't get that, you're soft. All right, and I know this is a very soft sports town, or you like this guy, you don't like that guy, whatever. Everyone has their agendas. We all know that. But, I mean, it's just commonplace. You come on the radio, you take the heat. You go on for 15 minutes, you answer some questions. It's not that complicated. So, and I wish we could get that.
Well, it is if you don't have all the answers.
I said you soft, so what?
Yeah.
If you don't have all the answers.
Maybe, whatever. You think we're unfair? Are we unfair? What part of this have we gotten wrong? I just gave you a bit of an out. Kirk Cousins, you went and got the best quarterback you could. Now, I'll never understand the idea of doing both. But then even though it works out in your favor, because you got a backup. You got a guy that you can throw in there that you believe in. You said he was such a good talent. You said you're never, ever going to be picking in a low position again. So we've got to go take Michael Penix. That's why they put him in there.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, was that a conversation? That's a great question. Did you talk to the coach about moving on from Cousins once you realized that it was going south? And did you feel that, and Coach already told us, he was never going to take him out in the Chargers game, which to me, that's the crossroads moment. And then subsequently after that, it got worse.
All right. What are you going to hear? It's important. Don't lollygag tomorrow. Don't come at us with nonsense. Let's know what's going on and be honest, open, transparent, and tell us how this is going to get fixed. Because that's what we want to hear. And Mike, if we don't hear that, tomorrow we're going to be at Twin Peaks, by the way, in Buckhead. I'm going off. I'm going off. I'm already on the edge. I know you hear it. I'm right here. I'm trying to hold back because I got to tell you, it's crap the way they're operating. So I'm right there. I need to hear what they're going to say tomorrow. 404-726-0929. And you should be as interested as well because, again, it's about buy-in. It's about believing that we're headed in the right direction. And I have to believe in the men in charge who are making the decisions.
Right. Another question tomorrow in the press conference. I presume it's going to be asked by somebody. We're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter later in the show. D. Led going to be here. And he'll ask some of those questions. I mean, how do you now work around this Kirk Cousins cap hit? You know, that's right.
Ask Turtle that.
Yeah.
Hey, got a question for Terry. How are we going to work against that cap hit?
You know, that's a big one.
Turtle keeps saying that it's not a big deal.
All right.
And well, I love my executive producer, but he's wrong on this.
I mean, yes, you can work around it, but I don't think we just lose. If you feel that just blanking away $25 million in cap space is nothing to sneeze at, I mean, to me, it isn't. I think that's an issue. Now, you've always said, where there's a will, there's a way.
They will work around
it. You can restructure guys. There's a certain number of players. Look, they got some hard decisions.
Mike, we're old. You don't want to restructure old guys.
No, that's the ultimate kicking the can down the road. I mean, how much longer? We love Jake Matthews. How much longer is Jake going to be here? A guy asked me yesterday at the gym. He goes, what are the Falcons going to do in the draft? I said, well, you might have to think about if they don't see things they like defensively. Remember, guys, we're picking 15th. Now, the good news is we picked A.J. Terrell, I want to say, at 16. I think Chris Lynch was a 14th. So we've actually had good talent in that range, guys that have had impacts and have become stars on this team. But if they don't have the impact edge rusher, I have no problem going with the best offensive lineman in this draft. Because you got to start thinking about protecting the blind side. The right tackle becomes the left tackle.
I agree, Mike. And that's all that stuff goes into this. And as much as we love Jake, guys.
And Jake's showing no signs of slowing down, but you just got to have a plan.
Yeah, you don't want to do those things, man. And so that is part of this discussion. All right, we got a lot to get to, man. Last night, something incredible happened with our Atlanta Hawks. And maybe it's a spark for this team that has been up and down, right? This road trip has not been fun, let's be honest. They went out west, they got one, and then they lost a couple of blowouts. And then last night, they found themselves in a game that actually they were winning, controlling, and then you needed a miracle, and they got one. We're going to get into the Hawks coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, again, you guys can hit us up. And by the way, if you guys say, hey, this is what I'd like to know,
right?
Ask us. We'll deliver it and ask some people that are going to be at this press conference. I know it's funny, Mike. People were asking, hey, can we ask this? Can we ask that? Send those questions.
Yeah, I mean, we think we've covered all the base, but there's always other angles that, you know, we'd always appreciate your input. Maybe you've got for us, so throw it at us, man. I know as a fan, I want to know, you know, how do you improve this? Terry, how do you improve this defense? How come this franchise just can't seem to get the quarterback on the ground? Why are we always either dead last or next to last in sacking the quarterback?
Yeah, it's a great point. And by the way, you know, I don't know if we have this guy in the building. I don't believe we do from all the coaching staff and the people that I know. But, Mike, it's something that's catching on around the league, and I got to give a big shout-out to Chuck Smith. This pass rush coaching specialist job now around the NFL,
teams
are hiring those guys. And credit to Chuck. He's with the Ravens now. Guess how many sacks they had, guys, this year? They were second in the league. Yes. Last year, you know how many sacks they had? First in the league.
He got Jadeveon Clowney paid, and Dan Quinn knew better. Dan Quinn, as a D-line coach, was threatened. Guys, just call it what it was. He's threatened. He was threatened by Chuck Smith because Chuck's experience level, his rapport with other guys around the league. If we never used this resource, it was just miles away here in Atlanta. Now Chuck's kicking butt for the Ravens.
But there are other guys who do this, and teams have hired them. Maybe we need to. All right. We got a lot to get to. Dukes and Bell. If you are weather aware, and we hope you are, you guys know weather's going to be moving in on Friday. We don't know the extent. So, you know, again, we're not going to give you a forecast. But, Mike, the Cotton Bowl is still a go as of right now.
At Jerry World, yeah.
Yeah, for 7:30 on January 10th. They put out a statement today because, again, these games could be affected. Now, down south in the Orange Bowl, that's a different deal. But Dallas is going to get this because it's coming, obviously, west to east. And so they said that they will not be a delay due to the unforeseen Arctic blast that is on its way. So bottom line is, hopefully they get this game in. I don't know, depending on how bad it is there,
right,
what that means for the fans. Because, again, you can have a game, but can people get there?
Yeah, because 14 years ago, Carl and I working at different radio stations. Carl was in Houston. I was down the dial. We were in Texas, and they also had a cab strike. It was an ice storm, snowstorm, like half a foot of snow, and then all the cabs went on strike. And so it was a blank show. But that was the year the Packers, with Aaron Rodgers, they won the only Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers beating the Steelers. And the last time, of course, that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers went that far. But that was a crazy weekend because Dallas, the Metroplex is huge and it's hard to get around when you can't have a cab. Good weekend for guys driving Uber.
No doubt.
And limos.
It was. Right. And by the way, they were charging obscene rates because of the cab situation, to Mike's point. So literally, right, you'd have somebody pull up and they'd be like, hey, where you headed? And you'd be like, oh, I need to go, over here to Midtown. And they'd be like, $85. And you're like, dude, it's 10 minutes. What are you talking about?
Did Uber even exist back then?
I don't think so.
I was just going to say. Yes, it did. I think there was maybe three Ubers in Dallas because it was founded in 2009.
Okay. But the cabs that were guys that were working were making a killing.
So one time, I got a bunch of high school buddies who live in Dallas. Carl got to meet some of my friends. We had like eight guys all stuffed into the back of a town car. It was like none of those like those videos in college in the 50s, how many guys you can squeeze into a car. But anyway, getting back to Dallas, they are trying to be proactive about it. But yeah, that city like Atlanta is just not equipped for that kind of funky weather.
No. So we'll see where that goes. We've got to do a couple of things here coming up. We're going to talk to our buddy, D. Orlando Ledbetter.
That's right, Mike and Carl.
Well, and I'm
another
curious.
Another year of desperation, depression, sadness, and failure.
I want to see what D. has to say about all this stuff that's going on, and we'll get his opinions on all of that. Also, a little bit later on in the show, Mike, as we continue to talk about the Dogs. And we're going to talk about the Dogs. Good news for the Dogs today is again, Kirby Smart's doing his thing, man, and more guys transferring in, and we'll tell you more about that. But a little bit later on in the show, and guys are hitting us up with questions and talking about Terry Fontenot and his presser tomorrow. I just really want to know where we're going. That's it. And I mean, again, if you think this is like, oh, it's over the top. No, I don't feel that way. 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, 4 years now on the general manager's watch.
Come on.
We all gave Terry a pass knowing that he inherited this cap situation. Chris has tried, our producers say, it's no big deal with the cap hit. I've read every article I can on this. There are ways to mitigate the cap hit. And by the way, they're never in a press conference are they going to say they're moving on from Kirk Cousins. Because even though probably every general manager worth his salt in the NFL knows we're going to jump him, it's just a matter of when, you want to maintain that, we have a plan to keep Cousins in the fold. Because at $45 million, he's the 12th highest paid quarterback. So it's not, because we've gotten all these other guys. Remember, after he got signed, all these other quarterbacks got his deal. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, everybody got their contracts. So Dak, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and even Deshaun Watson are still all making more money per season than Kirk Cousins is. So there would maybe be a slight chance that somebody could maybe make a deal. And I don't know if they're willing to let us off the hook, because we'd love to get something where we could maybe pay a portion of it for you to take Kirk Cousins off our hands.
Nobody did that for Russell Wilson, which is why the Steelers got him for cheap.
Correct. That's why I wouldn't anticipate this happening again either.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
What's the latest on Bill Belichick, and could he be headed back to the NFL, even though right now he's at UNC? Stay right there. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Did y'all see Trae Young last night? Did y'all see Trae Young? 24 points, 20 assists. It's the third time this season he's had a 20-assist game. And oh, by the way, if you're not familiar, or maybe you're a fringe basketball fan, let me tell you, it ain't easy to do that.
Nope.
And last night, they needed every one of those assists. But, Mike, what about the game winner?
Now they pick it up again. Sexton shoots a three and makes it with 2.9 to go. Hawks don't have time. Here's Trey. Midcourt fires. Bang! Trey Young just won the game. Trey Young just won the game, folks. Trey won from midcourt. He just stunned the silent crowd here in Utah. Trae Young from midcourt just knocked down a three, and the Hawks win. The Hawks win.
Man, I think Steve even surprised himself, because he's like 2 feet on the other side of half court. I mean, 50 feet. Unbelievable, because if you didn't see the sequence there, it looked like Dyson Daniels had the steal, but unfortunately, Sexton gets it back. He makes that shot, and then Trey, I mean, and the video, there's a new video that came out, and it's up in the stands, and you hear the crowd like, yeah! Oh, but it's unbelievable. And Dyson Daniels with 16. Capella was good last night with 18. Trey, you mentioned his numbers were great. And Zachary Risache, again, solid. And DeAndre Hunter doing what he does, man, off the bench. 4 of 7 from 3 for 17.
Yeah, it was one of those games. And by the way, again, the Hawks led in this game double digits at times.
Yep.
And just Utah shot the out of it from three-point land and got back in this game. And Lauri Markkanen, Mike. I'd love to see him in a Hawks uniform. I'm serious.
Yes, like that's the piece we've talked about.
He can fill it up, but he was great last night for them. But Colin Sexton, you guys know, he's an ATL kid, man, and he thought he won that game. And afterwards, Trey was like, I know he wanted to show out, because he was playing us tonight. But what a win for the Hawks. Now they move on. They'll take on the Suns before coming back home. Saturday's their next home game. But again, with weather, we don't know what the circumstances are. So if you got tickets to that game Saturday, just make sure you stay aware of what's going on.
Yeah, man. And we had missed, we talked about Jalen Johnson being banged up. And certainly DeAndre was a little ineffective in those games in Los Angeles. And so it's at least the road trip to kind of salvage it. Now, you mentioned it. They're still over 500, Carl, 19 and 18. When's the last time we're over 500 this late in the season?
Well, that's I agree, Mike. And this is the thing. You can beat the Suns. They're a mess right now. Right. This Bradley Beal situation, who knows where this is going? And Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause. Don't ask me how he got it. Mm. He has a no-trade. So, like,
they lost to an 8-win Charlotte team.
Yes, but they're having a hard time trying to move him. The whole notion is they want Beal out, and guess who they want? Jimmy Butler. Miami's like, we don't want Beal.
Yes.
So, right now, it's a mess. Either way, Hawks last night, it was fun to see that win. Let me hear Trae Young talk about it.
We had nothing left. We had 3 seconds left. Just try to get the ball in quick. Try to tell Dyson or whoever to get the ball in quick and hopefully try to get a shot up. And I mean, we practiced those shots growing up and having fun and even in practice. And I'm just glad I had an opportunity today to do it in the game and win it for us. And I'm glad.
It was big. There's no doubt about it.
Story number two.
Mike, let's talk some dogs here because I think you chuckled a little bit when Turtle sent this to us and Orin as we were looking at what's going on in college football, only from the standpoint of, listen, the dogs are going to fill the void, but former Notre Dame and Vanderbilt running back Micah Bell has committed to Georgia. You know who he is the brother of?
Dylan.
Dylan Bell. 5'10", 180 pounds. He will have 3 years of eligibility. Now, the good news is you can never have enough depth. We know ETN is coming back. We talked about that news yesterday. But this is good news because, again, I feel like this is what Georgia's got to get back to, running the ball. You've got some backs in that room already, Mike. You're adding to it. We talked about the defense yesterday and that defensive line. I think that's an area of concern right now. And I'll see what Kirby says about this, you know, when it's all said and done. Maybe he feels like they're going to be just fine, but that defensive line, especially at the edge rusher position, you're losing a lot of experience.
Yeah, and our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation mentioned earlier today about losing more safeties. They got a bunch of safeties hitting the transfer portal. So, I mean, it's like Kirby's, while guys are coming in, you got other guys going out. But, of course, upgrading at wide receiver, you know, getting kids from USC and Texas A&M, which brings super athleticism to that position. But this is kind of like this just fluid situation that every coach, including Kirby, has to deal with. Speaking of Georgia, I'll double down on hoops. I thought that was a great win. Anytime Kentucky comes to town, it's always going to be electric. And it was an unbelievable crowd at Stegman last night. And they take out Kentucky. And the moment last night that was interesting, if you didn't see it, the star for Kentucky basically saying, yeah, this is like y'all's Super Bowl when he's at the stripe. I thought that was great. Now, the refs were not great. If you're a Kentucky fan, you probably got some things to be upset about. So be it. We've had to deal with your stuff for decades.
You mean
SEC.
A little home cooking? Is that what
you
mean?
Yes. About damn time. Now, who's the worst basketball refs, ACC or SEC? Kind of a push, Carl. Either way, they get a nice win for Coach White and the Dogs last night at Stegosaurus.
Let's hear Mike White talk about that victory over UK.
Yeah, really good win, of course. Kentucky's one of the best teams in the country, one of the best offenses in the country. Run great stuff. Got really good players. Thought our guys responded in a big way from a tough outing in Oxford against a team that defended us at a really high level. It was, could have been arguably our toughest performance and bounced back in a really big way. This is, of course, our biggest win.
It is.
And it was Otega Owe was the guy that was mouthing off at the stripe. And again, he transferred from Oklahoma. And he's about, well, then don't go to Kentucky if you don't want to be under the bright lights every time you play. That's why you went there, right?
Now, you know where my loyalties lie there. they're good. They didn't play well last night, but I give Coach White a lot of credit. But I got to tell you guys something. Florida's a problem. Florida beat the out of Tennessee last night, 73-43. Tennessee, by the way, was the number one team in the country. 6 of the top 10 teams in the top 10, SEC teams. SEC basketball is really good, is my point. All right, we got a lot more to get to, guys. How much change is actually good for the Falcons this offseason? We'll dive into that conversation next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. Coming up, we'll talk about what's going on around the NFL, but Mike and I were just having a small discussion in regards to if, and it's a big if, there is movement within our organization to move on from Jimmy Lake. Where do you go? And, Mike, you said this to me, and I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, a couple of our audience, our buddy Andre and a couple of other dudes, one of our favorite followers, Black Man There, who said, what about Robert Saleh? Well, I like it. He runs a 4-3. We're kind of 3-4-ish, and that's a different philosophy, and I know that I don't necessarily like the way we've run our defense this year, but Saleh is a 4-3 guy, and the words from Josina Anderson is he's going to go back to San Francisco, that apparently he's going to reunite with his good buddy. And certainly, I just felt that, you know, he is a good coach. I know it is, like, you could do a whole 3 hours on Jets coaches who have burned out over that franchise. But I can't quit you. Kyle Shanahan maybe reuniting with a guy that was really good at what he did with that 49er unit.
Yeah, and Turtle just said he is interviewing with the Jags today. That is Robert Saleh. What you're saying makes total sense, though. Right,
I like a 4-3. I don't like a 3-4 anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm talking about him going back to San Francisco.
49ers.
Yes. I mean, I don't believe, this is just me, I don't think they're going back to a 4-3. I think they're going to stay 3-4, right, regardless of what happens with Jimmy Lake.
And not to mention, if you're Rod, you really want to bring in a guy that if things get hot, that guy can take your job. That's another part of it. No one says it, but that's also part of the equation.
It is, but Mike, I think you have to have the wherewithal to know experience matters, and you got to have guys on your staff that – you can't be afraid that they're going to take your job. If you do your job, they're not taking your job.
Right.
And so,
in a perfect world, yes.
But there's no coach that doesn't hire experienced guys. Steve Spagnuolo is finally getting interviewed. He's been the best defensive coordinator in this league for the last 10 years. I'm just telling you. And nobody's even given him a sniff of a head coaching job.
Well, the only problem for him is he had been a head coach and it didn't work out.
But there's a lot of those guys.
Belichick's the perfect example. You get your second shot. Remember, yes. Belichick flames out with Cleveland, gets back with Parcells, you know, and then off the rest is history, then goes and then does what he does.
There's a lot of those guys. The point is, Andy Reid wasn't afraid to hire him. Like, you gotta have those kind of guys on your staff.
Randy Mack played for him in St. Louis.
For Spagnuolo?
Yeah.
Okay. I just think what he's done specifically in Kansas City when he got there, but even before, if you go look at his track record, they've stayed away. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's got a couple of Super Bowl rings. He's been pretty good. You want to interview? But that's how the NFL works. Either way, that's all if the Falcons decide to do something. Now, that if, we may not know until, I don't know, after tomorrow, Mike, if that happens. And how much change is good? Like somebody said to me, do you want to change the whole thing? Well, look, if you do that every stinking year, you're not building. This is not broken. It needs tweaking and managing, okay? It's not broke. The offense, Mike and I were just talking about it. The Falcons put something out there about our young core and how well they played the last game. That's great, but our defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, and look, I get it, and they got a job to do to promote the positive. Accentuate the positive. No more Mr. Negative. And the numbers that they put out there, and they're not, no lies told. The first team in NFL history, the Falcons on Sunday, 300-yard passer, 175-yard receiver, 150-yard rusher in the same game, each under the age of 25. Reason to be excited. Only problem is you gave up 44 points to one of the worst teams in the league. So, I mean, two sides of the coin. But the good news is we've got a great young nucleus. Maybe we bolster the offensive line, and then you got to find a way somehow, somewhere. Hope that Braylon Trice can get out there and be an impact guy. Troy Anderson. You know, Troy Anderson being healthy is like a free agent. And then, of course, you know, trying to do it through the draft and what numbers you can make work in free agency. The guy's going to be effective. They tried it with Judon. He couldn't do it.
No, he wasn't it. The core, I think, is in place.
Right.
But part of that core is now aging. It's getting a little bit older. That doesn't mean they can't play, but that includes guys like Grady. Grady can still play. But you still need to look at all situations and say, and I think even Grady addressed this, Mike, saying, look, you know, obviously I want to be here, but I understand where I'm at in my career. Guys understand that. I mean, we talked about Jake. Some of the core that you relied on and have relied on, is getting a little bit long in the tooth. So you say, okay, do we stay the course or do we try to get a little bit younger in some of these spots? I think that is the kind of change that I am looking for. I don't necessarily want to change the whole damn team. The guys that can't play, get them out of here.
Right. That's where it's at. And I know that we mentioned offensive line that you do need in the big picture. If you feel, do they evaluate and say Caleb McGarry is still sturdy enough to be that guy? You couldn't find impact defensive players in this draft, or at least where we're selecting. Guys, we haven't even gotten to the combine. The college season isn't even over yet. There's a long way to go. But I would say if you had one thing to do this year, everyone's going to say edge rush, but maybe you go offensive line. And you've got to protect Michael. You got to protect his blind side. And maybe, I know Chris had mentioned the other day, do you feel the center needs to be upgraded? I know that they've never really complained about Dahlman, but I mean, just, is that an area maybe we need to improve?
What do you guys think? As we talk about actual good for the Falcons and as we turn the page and move forward, our offseason has started, by the way, okay? I mean, the playoffs, we're going to watch the playoffs this weekend. Our offseason has started. And so it's not too soon to start thinking about these things. And what do you think they're doing before this press conference tomorrow with Terry Fontenot? These are the kind of things they're talking about. Like, where are we going? How do we get to where we need to be? And what do we need to do, like, right now before the offseason officially starts, Mike, in March and April, and you start going to these pro days and start looking at guys? 404-726-0929. The good news is, and again, it's the best news probably, is that Penix, I hope you believe in him with what you saw. But that's the best part of what we're talking about right now.
Well, look, he moves around in the pocket, and I know it's kind of weird because, you know, Kirk Cousins at the end, he just, unfortunately, there was no mobility whatsoever. But this guy showed you with his pro day back last year from Washington that he is quicker than people expected coming off those two ACLs. He can move in the pocket. You know, some of the great quarterbacks, even a guy like Dan Marino, who's, you know, thought of as a statue, still had the ability, Carl, to move around and avoid the contact. But Penix can do more than that, and you saw that by virtue of his run, hit the pylon for a score. He's got that arm. That throw to Kadarius Hodge down the sideline, look at that rope, you know, getting Pitts in the mix in Washington. I mean, he throws that sucker into a tight window with RPMs. And not every quarterback in the NFL can do that.
I agree. So that's what we're asking you. And again, it could be as small as, you know, hey, I wanna do this, or it could be as big as like, hey, I think we need to go get, you know, some real secondary help, Mike. I mean, we continue to talk around this other corner situation like it's okay. I don't know if it is. I don't think it is. I think we continue to talk about AJ. When are we going to shore up the rest of the secondary?
I thought one of AJ's best games, and I thought his game in Tampa, the game in Tampa Bay where he had that amazing athletic pick and he also had a big hit. And I asked him, and he said, no, that wasn't his best game. You could argue that him shutting down Terry McLaurin in the Commanders game was AJ's best game of the year.
They didn't throw to him.
And unfortunately,
well, Jefferson too.
That's correct.
The Minnesota game, they didn't throw to him.
It was the other guy. Addison got big, and that's why, not a knock on Hughes, but I'd like to see us go get a corner. That's why, I mean, I know that it's the old argument we used to get into with Thomas Dimitroff. You build from the front of the back. I still think we've got to get a corner in this draft. The irony is you went for Ruka, row, and hopefully he pans out. But there were four guys that are starting in the league right now at corner that you decided to pass on in the second round last year.
We got work to do. That's where we're at. We got a lot of work to do. Hey, speaking of work, and it's not really any work on your behalf. You just need to come out and hang out and have a good time. And you can do that with 92.9 The Game. Quick reminder, guys, join Andy and Randy this Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Discover, Boating Atlanta Boat Show in partnership with Progressive Insurance at the Georgia World Congress Center. It's a cool event. They'll have a surfing simulator, bathtub, fishing demos, and much more. It's at the Georgia World Congress Center Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are Dukes and Bell, and we have a lot more to get to. D-Led is going to stop by next hour. We'll get his thoughts about what's going on with the Falcons and what he thinks. And listen, D's been covering this team a long time. We've seen good teams. We've seen mediocre teams. We've seen bad teams. This one is not great, but it's not bad. And the thing is, when you're 6-3, Mike, and you have these high expectations and then things fall apart, you know, is it the Jimmys and Joes or was it simply coaching?
Always felt the offense was going to set the tone, just like 2016, and hopefully the defense would get better. I thought, look, if he doesn't want to take credit for it, I thought Rod did. The reports from Ian Rappaport from NFL Network are accurate. He got more involved and he maybe did some things schematically, whether it was a combination of things with Jimmy Lake or if Rod said, hey, we're doing it this way. It was working. They were getting after the quarterback. Certainly the final quarter of the season, we were more effective. Unfortunately, it didn't translate to wins. The only quarterbacks you beat were Desmond Ridder and Drew Locke. You know, but unfortunately, you know, we did not have a plan for Bo Nix. I think the Minnesota game, we looked absolutely lost in the secondary. That's also on Jimmy Lake's resume.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, We can look at Zach Robinson and say the offense at its best looked really good, whether it was Cousins or it was Penix. I can't say that about Jimmy Lake. There were too many ups and downs, right, Mike, with the way the defense either would respond or it didn't. And let's be honest, when we were winning, guys, the big denominator in us winning was turnovers. Right. When we were turning teams over. When we stopped turning teams over, Mike, we couldn't get stops and we couldn't get off the field.
Now, you did score some points, man. You scored 34 against the hapless Giants, if you will. You did take the Commanders, a playoff team, into overtime. And you scored 38 points in the NFL, you're supposed to win. Unfortunately, the sequence, which I retweeted, which is just painful, where you got Bryce Young throwing a ball about 30 yards down the field, turning around, raising his arms, because there's not a Falcon in the frame. So that's why, I mean, I don't want to make it all about Jimmy Lake, but if I ran this team, I would look at other options for defensive coordinator. And I would also, like, Carl, I would have no problem, you know, stripping it down to a 4-3, changing the approach, but I'm not sure that's where Raw wants to go with it.
Yeah, and again, look, only they know, but I'm going to tell you with the personnel they have and where they've been going, that's not the issue.
Right.
The issue is the dudes. We don't have enough of them. And until you get better in some positions, this is going to look like it has looked. And that's kind of, you know, the basis of it. It doesn't matter if you run 4-3 or not. If you don't have the dudes, it's not going to work.
Right. So. You need Troy Anderson's speed. Troy Anderson couldn't stay on the field. We like J.D. Bertrand. He flashed at times, right? I think you like what you see there.
Yep.
All I can tell you guys, because we didn't get to see you at practice because they were doing all the remodeling at Flowery Branch, but Braylon Trice looked really good, and he blows his knee out in the first preseason game. That's a guy that I think a lot of folks that looked at our draft analysis said that's a nice pick for us. And he was a leader on that Washington. Penix was the offensive captain. He was the defensive captain. The dude's got that juice. But now we got to wait next year to see what he's all about, coming off an ACL. So, and the corners – you still got to, you know, we're moving on from Simmons, right? That's done. Simmons and Judon, we talked about some of the age and the turnover.
Well, that's gone. It should be, but then I hear they want to keep Simmons for depth. Okay, so then what are we paying him? Like, what does that cost?
Right.
I mean, I understand his experience, and if you're telling me for whatever reason, because remember, he was a little banged up too this season, that he wasn't 100%. Let's just take that for granted. All right, maybe he wasn't, with a grain of salt. Do you want him back? I don't necessarily know, Mike, if I do at this point, if I feel like I can upgrade and get a more dynamic playmaker. I thought Jesse Simmons was going to be that. He just didn't do enough of it. Bates showed up like we expected him to, but and Simmons not so much. So I'm a little suspect there when we talk about whether or not he should be back. Where are you guys? 404-726-0929. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up, C. Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929.
Simmons was only on a $3.1 million deal, so that's doable. But again, I just thought he was inconsistent at best this year. Not what we were expecting.
No, not at all. It wasn't $8 million. It was $3 million.
I'm looking for next year. I'm looking for 2025.
Gotcha.
I'm looking ahead to next year's cap. This is from Spotrac. So
gotcha.
All that's fluid. Are you going to cut Younghoe Koo, or are you just going to bring in competition in the spring?
Well, if he's
going to draft a kicker,
if he's healthy, you bring in competition.
You just give him a pass because he wasn't healthy for the middle of the season.
I think you have to.
He cost you games.
He did. Two, at least.
Yeah. At least.
At least.
Saints, generous.
Saints game for sure.
In New Orleans,
At least two. I think you bring in competition if he's healthy and you give him time this offseason to get right, and then you you have a dance-off, Mike. You have a kickoff, okay? and we get to camp, and these guys are kicking 30, 40, 50 yarders, and then you figure it out. But
and I know everyone loves Koo, but, I mean, it's results-driven business like everything else, man. You know, and
it's a great story, right?
Yep.
It's a great story. Kids at Georgia State or whatever. I mean, like, I love the story, and I love the fact that he's been really good. Georgia Southern, and really consistent. But the fact is, yeah, I mean, like, when you're costing me games, I can't have that margin of error with my kicker. It's too much at stake.
Yeah, and also, you know, missing the thing that's strange is down in New Orleans, missing indoors in the 40-yard range. Because, you know, nowadays we've seen everything sort of – that's what made that lost kick on the Commanders game look like it was tracking. We're seeing, like, even, like, journeyman kickers are hitting those 55-yard-plus. You know, we're seeing guys getting close to 60 on a regular basis in the NFL, and Koo has been that guy. We've been lucky with Matt Bryan and Younghoe Koo. A lot of teams, like Tampa Bay over the years, have struggled with it. But, yeah, there's been some real clunkers for him. And it's unfortunate that you're having this conversation for a guy that, you know, shouldn't have to worry about the kicker at the end of the day.
No, you hope you get a guy that's consistent and lasts a long time, but sometimes you gotta you know, move guys in and out. And I think we've kind of taken that for granted until we got to this season. And you start realizing, We're losing games, and points are not on the board because of it. Either way, these are all the things that they're talking about and trying to figure out. And you don't do – guys, you don't wait until summer, okay?
Right.
Season's over. This process starts now. When Ross said our offseason starts now the other day when he was speaking, he's absolutely right.
The good news, as we said, you know, the biggest concern would be is how you evaluate your offensive line as far as that's about it. You're talking about do you really feel you got to upgrade from McGarry? Are you happy with him? Because we run the ball so much, but you do have to protect Penix moving forward. That would be my only concern. Everything else you just touched on, it's all on the defense.
All right. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead. What's going on around the NFL? The league says it's monitoring the LA Fires because they've got a playoff game there this weekend. We'll get into that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.